Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
I mean, it doesn't take a shit ton of effort, but I'm also, like, putting a lot
What about Roundabout by Yes?
I can't... We can't actually take licensed music.
Just play... The opening 8 minutes is just Roundabout.
I would like it if it was the Ode to Joy disco version that's from the Boogie Nights soundtrack. That's what I'd like our opening
to
be.
Nice. That's Ode to Joy's public domain, right?
Yeah, but not the disco version.
Oh, okay. Like Night on Disco Mountain.
Yeah. No, that's a fifth of Beethoven.
Is it? Oh, yeah. Okay. My bad.
Not Beethoven's fifth, a fifth of Beethoven.
Right. Fair enough. Yeah, it's good stuff.
All right. You ready? You ready to rock this party?
I'm always ready.
All right. Welcome to Game Classy. As always, I am your host, Joe.
More like Game Assy. Yeah.
And with me, as always, is the Will Wheaton to my...
Them's fighting words.
John Luke. Those are my Patrick Stewart.
Literally fighting words.
we're
going podcast over. We're going to fight. We're going to have a knockdown drag out in the parking lot.
We're going to do it.
It'll be like the fight scene between Keith David and Rowdy Piper in They Live.
Nice.
Or in,
They Live.
Yeah, that's right.
It's going to be like 20 minutes long and us just like slow motion.
Like a real fight. Like, it just looks like you're really beating the shit out of each other.
Marcus of Queensberry. Speaking of which, have you watched Daredevil yet? I know it just debuted yesterday.
I have not. But I've heard unanimous, like, positive reviews about it.
Watched the first two episodes last night. It is, the first two episodes at least are really good. I mean, like, the fight scenes are, like, tight and brutal, kind of John Wickish.
Yeah,
in a lot of ways.
I heard, like I said, universal, unanimous, like, praise for it. And these are people who've already watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
They just marathoned it.
Like, you know, on John Wick, when they would show, like, the gunfights, and it would be, like...
Best gunfights ever on screen.
Like, it would be, like, one shot, and you'd see, like, him doing a bunch of action, and then maybe it would switch an angle here or there, but it wasn't like that Michael Bay, you know, David Fincher style, like...
Flash cuts.
It's pretty tight like that. And the fight scene at the end of the second episode is one of the funniest, brutal fights I've ever seen in my life. Like, my wife was just going there... Me and my wife are watching, and she just goes, "Oh my god!" I'm like sitting there with a big smile on my face, like, "Yes."
Yeah. Apparently, it's super great, so I'm really excited about it. I am going to watch it.
Yeah, I would.
I love the fact that it's on Netflix.
Yeah.
So, like, if I really, really like it, I'm just like, "Yes, I can just watch the whole thing."
Well, I mean, there's a couple things like I won't say too long. It's only fresh in my memory from yesterday.
How's Vincent D'Onofrio? He looked amazing.
I haven't gotten to any of his episodes. He hasn't shown up yet.
Okay.
The acting in it is pretty good. It seems very natural. Deborah Ann Woll plays Karen Page, and she's really good in it.
I don't know who that is.
She was on True Blood, but she's really good in it. The guy who plays Foggy Nelson, I can't tell if it's just his dialogue or the way he's presenting his dialogue, but he kind of sounds like a college student doing theater a little bit, but it's not terrible. Like, it's kind of in his character, the lines that he's delivering, like... He seems like a very fake guy, so everything he says is kind of fake.
Is there surprise Benedict Cumberbatch anywhere?
No surprise Benedict Cumberbatch.
I think more things need to do that.
Surprise Benedict Cumberbatch.
Yeah. Like, hello, it's me.
Well, he can only show up as Doctor Strange now.
Oh, that's true.
Because I guess there's an unofficial rule in the Marvel Cinematic Universe that once you show up in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you can't show up again as a different character. Unless you're Stan Lee.
Yeah.
That's the rule.
Or Stan Lee is actually the same person every time.
There's a theory that he is the Watcher.
Yeah.
Watu the Watcher.
That'd be pretty awesome, actually.
It would be pretty awesome.
And that would be super clever to, like, an actual way to, rather than just have the Stan Lee cameos as a little, like, hey, it's Stan Lee, actually have it be a thing. It's like, this is the reason you saw him in all these movies is because he's the Watcher.
He's the Watcher, yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
And
his giant fucking head.
And the
incoming message from the big giant head.
Oh, wow, that's a deep cut reference.
Yeah, well, it's on Netflix.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, recently got uploaded, Third Rock from the Sun.
So you can watch some classic young JGL.
I fucking love Third Rock from the Sun. I forgot how much I liked it.
And
I don't like sitcoms.
It's a very sitcom-y sitcom, but it's clever. It's got a lot of clever jokes.
I think that's why it resonates with me, because it's really out there.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like, what? It's so weird.
They make a lot of good... like Twilight Zone references that I like.
Yeah, they make a lot of good references. Yeah. In general, I think. I think that show is what. It's not really, but I think the Big Bang Theory writers are trying to emulate that style of comedy from Third Rock from the Sun.
Yeah, very similar.
They're failing miserably.
Well, I think it's also, it benefits from the fact that Lithgow
is amazing.
French Stewart and is allowed, and the, whatever the chicks, Chris and Stewart are allowed to be like really hammy and silly.
Yeah.
And that benefits it because they're playing four goofballs against like a bunch of straight guys.
Right. Yeah. They're everyone else is the straight man in the room.
Yeah. So it's, you get a little bit of a Marx Brothers quality to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And fucking, every time John Lithgow sees himself, he's like, "I'm gorgeous." I expect him at one point to be like, "I've got the guns, John."
I've got the guns now, John. One last thing on Daredevil before we move on. The, what really benefits Daredevil above anything else is the fact that there's no commercial breaks. So you don't have artificial cliffhangers.
Right.
Before the...
How's the music?
You know, I didn't even notice it, really. Okay. So I guess it's just kind of like mood music in the background.
Right. That's fair.
The theme, I wasn't really... I'm not a big fan of the opening. A lot of people really like the opening title sequence. I think it's a little drawn out and a little silly.
Is there lyric... Is it a theme song or is it just...
It's motherfucking Daredevil coming on at ya. Daredevil.
Who's beeping and booping at our door? Ooh, it's the Postal Service.
Postal Service?
Who can it be knocking on my door?
I was going to do a Postal Service.
Don't come around here no more.
I was going to do a Postal Service song, but
the band Postal Service. They have that the one song that's really popular.
Such Great Heights.
Yeah, Such Great Heights. Yeah. That's the one.
All right.
Yeah. We are peeing from such great heights right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keyboards.
All right, so let's get into some gaming stuff right here. Steve got me Princes of the Apocalypse.
Princes of the Apocalypse, which is replacing the canceled Elemental Evil book.
No, actually, okay, so I wanted to talk about this a little bit. It replaced the two books that they were doing, which was the Temple of Elemental Evil book and the Adventurer's Handbook. So what it did was it essentially just combined the two books into one. Okay, so
that's why it took so long to come out.
Yeah.
In case anyone was wondering.
So Wizards basically just had a press conference at a gaming convention. I don't remember the name of it off the top of my head.
ButtCon. Call it ButtCon.
Well, so they were at ButtCon, and I heard this from a retailer friend who was at ButtCon, and he works for a game company himself. This isn't the one that me and Steve's thinking of, but no, this is a different guy. He works for a gaming company who actually writes. Ooh, we got
Wow, that was fast.
Wii steering wheels, and an amiibo.
Gotta get them amiibos.
God, you and Pat both.
I want to punch you both in the face.
Fucking
love it. You can't shit talk amiibo. You have a fuck ton of tiny little men of yourself.
I know,
your
but
own.
I mean. I guess it's just because I'm so used to the collector's market that, like, when I hear Pat bitch about the collector's market, I'm like, where have you been for the last 30 years?
I do, like, Pat, like, you have to get in and get, you have to get the deal. Like,
you have to under, like,
if you want it, you need to be ready.
Yeah, and you can't bitch and moan that you can't get
the
it.
The only campaign, like, I know this is totally off topic, but the only legitimate bitch I have about the Amiibo situation was GameStop said on their Twitter, they're like, we are going to have online pre-ordering up at 2 and in-store pre-ordering up at 2.
Mm-hmm.
And they never once put a single one of the new ones on their website.
Oh, that sucks.
So, like, if it would be different, because, like, I tried the next day at Toys R Us.
Yeah.
And, like, I missed it. Because, like, they put it up at 3 a.m. and I was like, fuck. But, like, at least that would have been, that's fair. I'm like, I missed out because I wasn't on top of it.
You,
like,
didn't care enough to stay up till 3 a.m.
Right. And I wasn't on top of it to, like, you know, get in there and get it. But that was at least a chance. Like, the GameStop thing was a fucking debacle because I'm like, I'm sitting there looking at it. I'm like, fucking sweet. Can't get anything. It's kind of like it's like Force Will right now, to be honest. Like, Force Will's that hot.
Yeah. Anyway, back to D&D. So apparently D&D is completely shirking, or Wizards is completely shirking D&D 5th. It's super popular, people really like it, and stuff is selling, but they're only doing two books a year now for D&D. That's what their thing is. They're doing two campaign books. They're not doing any more source books. So adventures, like, they're not going to do anything like that because that's going to be folded into campaign books.
Right.
Their feeling was that 4th edition there was too much crap they put off for 4th edition, and that was part of the reason.
And 3rd edition.
Well,
and 3.5, yeah. And Pathfinder, and every fucking book has too many fucking books. Yeah.
So what they say was there's too much that came out for 4th edition. They said specifically 4th edition, that's why I mention it.
Yeah, 4th edition did have a lot of shit. Well, 4th edition couldn't make up its mind.
Yeah.
It was like a spastic, like, launch. Like, they launched a ton of things, but, like, every book was in a different direction. Like, this adventure book was, like, designed in, like, it's just the book. Like, yeah. This is the adventure. And then, like, the very next adventure comes in, like, a box set with, like, you know, tokens and shit. And, like, the price points were all different, and it was, like... It's not necessarily that it's confusing, but it's not consistent. And then, like, so what they do is they release the hardcover, and, like, the person who's like, oh, I wish I had, like, a box set the style of, like, Second Ed.
Yeah.
Like, that guy's upset because it's a hardcover. And then when they release the box set, like, someone's like, I don't want to pay extra for this fucking box set. I just want the book. And then it just kind of disrupts everybody. It's not a good thing.
Yeah, so if you want any new monsters, any new weapons, any new spells, that stuff's all going to be in the campaign books now. So it's not really a camp. They don't have a monster manual / campaign book anymore. It's going to, or a monster manual and a campaign book. It's going to be one thing together, and all the new stuff is going to be in there. I've heard good things about Princes of the Apocalypse. I've heard it's a lot more sandbox than Tyranny of Dragons. Tyranny of Dragons is very linear.
Yeah.
If you want to run it, Princes of the Apocalypse,
which makes perfect sense for the first adventure to come out of the new edition.
And then you have Prince of the Apocalypse, which is a little more sandbox. You have a couple different directions you can go with it if you want to run that. I believe someone asked a question about D&D on our little thing that we could talk about.
Yeah, we can
a little
do that. We got the list.
Before we do that, I just wanted to two more things. One,
put your penis away, please.
Oh, damn it. Games Workshop, the new Skitarii. Huge right now. People are loving it. I guess the pre-orders are through the roof on that new army.
Skitarii.
Yeah, the Adeptus Mechanicus army.
Oh, okay. They're called the Skitarii.
Yeah. I don't know
what the
if
fuck
I'm
is that?
I don't know if I'm pronouncing. I don't know what the fuck is it, the Adeptus
Ineptus Mechanicus.
The Ineptus Mechanicus.
No. that Adeptus Mechanicus at least makes sense. Skitarii, is that like a new?
I guess it's it's stupid. With the Adeptus Ministrorum or whatever the
whatever that fucking that Forge World model is actually pretty sweet.
Yeah, the one that you put up.
Yeah,
that's a 30K model though, ain't it?
No, that's for the Adeptus Mechanicus.
Oh, for the Skitarii, yeah.
Yeah. But I'm calling them Ineptus Mechanicus. I don't care what anyone says.
The Ineptus Mechanicus.
Yeah, I mean, like, that one, that model, that figure's really sweet. I was like, wow, they actually did a good
looking
mech.
The army looks really good, but there's a funny thing in that, I don't know if anybody's ever pointed this out, but all of the walkers and the tanks that
look
they
like
have. No, they actually look like the shit from Dust Tactics.
Oh, nice. Like,
it's almost identical, and it's kind of funny that they did that.
Yeah, fair enough.
It looks really nice,
Didn't the dude who made Dust, didn't he used to work for Rackham, though?
He did, Paulo Parente.
Okay. Yeah.
He did,
Paulo Parente.
He did the AT-43 stuff. AT-43.
Yeah. I think, you got it right, AT-43.
Yeah. He did all that stuff, which was originally supposed to be his alternative World War II game, but for some odd reason they wanted it to be sci-fi, so they did that instead.
It was I think that was the big 40K upswing.
Yeah, the big 40K upswing.
Yeah.
I guess it was at that
time.
Yeah,
so like right now, like personally, like as far as miniatures games go, like if 40K was cheaper, you needed less models, I'd probably play it.
I don't even think if you would probably play it. I don't necessarily think you need less models, because I don't think you need that many models on the table. If it was cheaper, yes, because some of that shit.
I mean,
I want
in right now, War Machine is too big.
Yeah,
like for me, War Machine is too big right now. Like, I want small games. I want games I can play on this table, which is a reasonable sized table.
Yeah, it's not bad. I like platoon level. So usually, what I like is about.
Is that like two squads in a tank?
No, it's about
squad.
I like about 40 models is what I like. 40 troops and about, you know, a couple odds and ends, like some tanks and maybe a couple support weapons here or there. That's what I'm looking at.
That's a little high for me, but that's more reasonable than a lot of things.
Yeah. Well, no, the problem with 40K right now for me is the sheer amount of vehicles you need.
Oh,
expensive
it's insane.
As fuck vehicles.
It's
60
crazy.
Bucks, yeah.
Oh, it's 60. Like, that's the thing. You see a big thing like the big towel with the stupid little head.
Yeah.
It's like, that thing's pretty neat, but you need four. It's like, okay, great.
Well, I mean, I was just at, I put it on Facebook, but I was just at a local GW store for the first time in probably a year and a half, and I was just like, fuck these prices! Jesus!
My balls!
Ugh! And it were, and being at that store reminded me of everything I hated about being in a GW store of all time.
Yeah,
the dude walked in with a fucking Hello Kitty.
Oh, I thought you were gonna. I thought because you said Hello Kitty on Facebook.
Yeah,
I thought you were about to say My Little Pony.
No.
Oh my god.
No, it was a Hello Kitty army. And first of all, I said this on the Facebook page. For all those who just listen, don't go to the Facebook page. It's not original. People have been doing Hello Kitty armies for years.
Yeah. I actually think the first one was the Hello Kitty Necrons. That was the first, like, popular one, if I remember correctly.
Either one. It's just...
It's awful, though.
It's awful.
Awful.
Why do you even do that? And especially because it's so expensive right now. You're wasting so much money on a joke that people literally go, all right, let's play.
If that, I would just be like, get that fucking shit off the table.
I know, it's like...
What the hell is wrong with you, kid?
If it's something I hadn't seen before, like if someone came in with, I don't know, like a Steven Universe Space Marine Army...
That would be pretty impressive. Well, they're all Stevens.
Yeah. I mean, I'd be like, essentially, I'd go like this. I'd go, all right, let's play.
Like, wait
a minute. The sensible chuckle. Like,
sensible chuckle magazine.
But then you just wasted how much money on all these figures
for a
sensible chuckle. It's not worth it, in my opinion.
I think, you know my stance on it. I think the joke armies are just the worst.
But I really like this Adeptus Mechanicus army, at least in terms of its look. I think it's fresh. It's something that should have come out 10 years ago.
Right.
But, you know, c'est la vie.
Yeah. It was back when, you know, when you did cool stuff with Workshop where you had, like, lots of different options for building your figures, your armies. You're like, oh man, I need to buy these bits. Yeah. Remember bits? Anyone remember bits?
Sure. Remember bits? They're pretty good.
They're a thing.
All right, so I got my, and I think a lot of people have gotten their Forgotten Kings Kickstarter in from Super Dungeon Explorer. This is just the core box without any of the minis in it.
Yeah. You put a picture of it on the Facebook page.
So. One thing I want to talk about was it comes with two different modes. It's got classic and arcade mode, not the PvP. The PvP rules are still only online.
Okay. These are official rules updates.
These are the official rules update.
This is actually someone asked specifically about this as well with the rules.
So the classic mode, this is the one that I'm used to, which is DM versus the players.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have arcade mode, which is classic dungeon crawl where you could have all the players, and then they control the monsters as well. So it's the monsters are kind of on auto control.
Okay, they're AI.
Yeah. So I...
Speaking of auto control, Kingdom Death, baby.
Yeah.
There's a box.
That's in the questions and stuff for the Kingdom Death. The problem with arcade mode is it's... Look at the rulebook for arcade mode. Look how huge that fucking rulebook is.
I mean, it's pretty thick. It's a 41 page book.
Yeah.
It's nice though. That's, you know, the one thing, like I said, I know everyone who's listened to all the episodes of the podcast knew I shit on this game pretty hard, like in terms of mechanics.
Yeah.
I can tell you this game is worth your money. Like absolutely. Like I don't like it. Most people like it, but the components, the figures, that's super good.
Okay.
Like, Ninja All-Star is also super exciting.
Yeah, it's real nice. Yeah, the classic mode rulebook is really nice as well. It is all updated completely. So Let me talk about a couple things that I don't like about this update.
I still remember when this was not a game, and it was like I saw the one metal paladin figure, and I was like, oh, that's a cute little anime paladin guy. Little did I know.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about some of the things I don't like with this Kickstarter right off the bat. One, didn't need to be two giant boxes. Like, so
What's the second box?
The second box is the Boo Box. This actually, it was just all the extra stuff that you got.
It's a mimic.
Yeah.
Looks like a mimic. It's cute.
I just put all the figures in there.
Were these all assembled?
Yeah, they're all assembled when you get it.
Oh, that's awesome.
So here's your little centaur.
Yes, wait.
No, there's none. I looked.
God damn it.
Okay, let me show you.
Can you green stuff that in there?
Yes, you could. All
right. I'm looking for the centaur vagina, by the way.
All right, so actually, let's just talk about the things I really liked about it. So some of these figures are friggin' cool.
Oh yeah, they look sweet. They have a so in addition to their like super deformed style for their heroes, the monsters have a very Dragon Warrior NES game many video games.
This was one of the bonus models. It was from the Mist Coast Warband or whatever. Look at that like troll. Like how cool is that? That sculpt is amazing.
Yeah, it's really nice.
And this is my favorite. This is my favorite sculpt.
Yeah, these are like Final Fantasy style. Yeah.
It's a frog knight.
It's a chocobo.
It's a frog knight riding a chocobo. He's a little frog. How awesome is that?
Yeah, these are great. These are like they really outdid themselves. It appears.
I know. That's what I was saying. And the Billmen are actually little platypuses. I thought they were ducks, but they're platypuses.
Oh yeah. That's awesome.
The sculpts on all the new stuff
incredible. They're way better than
gorgeous.
And I liked the other stuff, but these are way way better. You can tell like they've got their shit to they got their shit down.
And you got a ton of shit. I didn't bring all of the models. Yeah, these are just like the big ones.
An absolute gigantic amount of crap.
Yeah, these are just, well, a lot of these are from the older.
I love this fucking Treeman. Yeah. The Treeman's badass.
A lot of these are from the older sets.
Yeah.
But it's like, this is like the plant mini boss.
Yeah, these are sweet figures.
Yeah.
All right. Feed me, Seymour.
That's what it looks like. These are great. Like,
Andre.
I almost would love these for D&D. Like, using these.
I would say the heroes might be a little eh for D&D. If your players are serious business, but the monsters just work.
Yeah,
like they don't look pretty. Like this guy's a giant rabbit, but like he doesn't look like that. Like he looks like a fucking horrible monster.
Well, I mean, and you could run it as whatever you want. I mean, like the trolls, ogres, things like that.
The enemies like work like they work fine.
The dragon's gorgeous.
Yeah, the dragon's really cool.
Yeah,
I would agree with that. Although I'm against minis in RPGs.
So they also you get the box works so much better for holding everything this time. Like all the cards are slots for all the cards.
Nice.
It comes with this. It came with this cardboard box which was had all the figures in it, but it fits all of the components and everything perfectly in there.
Never lost cola, baby.
Those are for the arcade mode. Those little cards.
Yeah,
yeah. The arcade mode it bothers me a little bit because I feel like one of the bigger draws to this game as a dungeon crawl game was that it was different than most dungeon crawl games because you actually had the DM versus opponents as opposed to
actually that's super common.
Yeah, I mean, but in the big games,
Descent's DM versus players. There's Dungeon Quest is DM versus players.
I was going to say, the only one I could think of is Dungeon Quest.
Yeah.
Descent.
Yeah, Descent, Dungeon Quest. Most of the crawl games are like actually player versus DM.
Are they?
Yeah. There's been an upswing in the player. Autopilot games where like the game plays it by itself. Like,
yeah. I don't like that at all. I think it's kind of stupid.
I think...
Because I think you as a player... doing that would be like, well, why am I moving these guys in my way? I can just move them aside. Yeah, and they
like,
don't.
I think the you have to have a very it can work. It can work very well. Like the Lord of the Rings LCG is a very good example of a game that you are playing against.
But that's very different. That's a card game. Card games work a little differently.
Not the game mechanically, but how the like enemy AI I'll give you is handled. Like they just like they do this. This is how they operate. It's very simple. They don't have a lot of difference. You're not gonna like if you flip up three enemies, those enemies all operate under the same rules. And you like once you get it, you're like okay. So like you can plan a strategy against the deck.
Yeah.
I don't know how arcade mode in this game works, so I'm...
I haven't played it, of course, because I just got this yesterday.
Like, the monsters probably just meander forward or something, I don't know.
It's a little complicated. I mean, as I said, it's a 41-page book. Yeah, they updated all the cards, so you got updated versions of all the cards from the first edition, which is nice. All the treasures updated. Like, everything is updated. This is, its own self-contained game. You don't have to worry about anything from the first...
Nice.
The only thing that the first edition had that would probably be very useful are all the minis.
Is this are they considering this an official second edition, or is this a companion game?
This is a very second edition self-contained.
Okay.
You get new cards and everything like that.
Well, I mean, I don't know, because, Zombicide... I hate to bring up Zombicide because I don't like it.
Well, we're going to talk about that, too.
But Zombicide, base game, and Prison Outbreak, you can buy the base game... or Prison Outbreak, but they're both still in production. So basically, what I'm asking is, are they discontinuing the basic Super Dungeon Explorer?
Yes, you can buy it on Ninja on their website at Soda Pop Mini's website for like half price.
Wow.
Yeah. So I would do it just because
copies, bros.
All right. And so, but here's the thing that pisses me off. So the first edition stuff. Here are the tiles from the first edition.
They don't fit.
So they changed the box size and actually the tiles. For the second edition, so the tiles are actually there are the same size. It's just that they cut off
the spaces you don't use.
Yeah, which is fine, but it doesn't fit in the new second edition box. So if you want to use the tiles from the first edition, which are still useful, you can't. You have to have its own separate thing on there. That's kind of annoying.
You blew it.
Yeah. There should have been something when they in the box. Two things that they should have included in the box set for the second edition. One, they should have had the PvP rules in here, like updated PvP rules. I think the PvP system is a really cool idea for this game. That's one-on-one play. You
pick two horse vagina.
Yes. Well, you pick a – oh, yeah, two of the horse vagina. You pick a hero, and then you pick two spawning points, and you basically – it's your hero and the villains attack another hero and villains. It's a really fun little system. They just don't do anything with it. Like on this, it's all online.
Yeah,
I think they should have printed out something, put it in here. If they did the arcade mode and they did the classic mode, it would have took them no time just to put together a little 5-page leaflet that showed you how to do that.
I think if you're looking for the PvP experience out of Super Dungeon Explorer, you should just play the ninja game.
Yeah, that's true too. And there needed to be like a leaflet in here that said, "This is all the stuff from the first edition that's still good. This is all the stuff from the first edition that you don't need anymore."
Right. I have an update kit.
All of the cards, essentially, from first
edition.
That's
actually pretty uncommon,
though.
Like most places don't. When they do new editions, they don't usually tell you what works with the old edition.
I know. I think that would have been helpful.
What a lot of game companies do provide, however, is generally they provide an upgrade kit. But obviously, this is not one of those scenarios. But like Descent is an example. Descent second edition came out, and most of the rules were changed. But a good number of the cards were the same. So they had an upgrade kit, which is, it was like $8 or $10, which is significantly cheaper than buying a new $60 MSRP game.
Yeah.
And you follow the instructions in it, and it's like, replace these cards with this. Use this rule book. Why are you pulling out some historical garbage?
I wanted to show you this. I found this at Half Price Books. Now, I didn't buy this to play it. I bought this to resell it. So I got these. Half Price Books didn't know what to do with them. Basically, they're historical map games, you know, like you buy in the box set, you know, where you get the little punch-out sheets and the maps and stuff like this. Guess how much I bought this for at Half Price Books?
I don't know, $5.
I got it for $5. Guess how much this goes for online?
$20.
$40.
Oh. Good old convoy.
Guess how many of these I bought from Half Price Books?
All of them?
Get how many?
100.
No, God, no. I wouldn't pay that much money. No. There was 10 of them. I got them at $5 a piece, but I also had a coupon, so I got them. I ended up paying $30 for all 10 of them, and each one goes for about $40 online.
Seems pretty good.
I am not going to be playing the map campaign of Verdun. But you know that people love these fucking games for some odd reason.
People actually buy those?
Oh, God. Well, if you're over 40, you have to play them, apparently. Or I should say over 40. That's not fair. If you're over, like, 60, you have to play them.
If you're over 60 and you're in suspenders right now,
you're probably playing this game.
You're actually doing it.
You're like, huh? Why am I listening to this podcast?
It's Podception.
Time to turn on some old-time 40s music. Get me in the mood.
Dude, I fucking love old-time 40s music. It's so good.
Attention, ladies and gentlemen. The Japanese have bombed Pearl Harbor. You're gonna miss Dave.
This radio's broken.
Gotta tone it. Yeah.
Do not adjust the vertical or horizontal. We are in control.
And now time for music from the BBC.
We're going to do the running gun down here?
Yeah. Let's
fucking do it.
Put up on Facebook. We haven't done one of these in a long-ass time, and we just asked for questions from the audience. First one up.
We'll trade off.
Yeah, first one up from Joe McLaren. What's worse, people with unpainted armies or people who insist on fully painted armies? Steve?
That's a tough call. I'm going to say people who insist in a rude manner.
Yeah, I'm the type of person that if I'm playing in a tournament, I think it should be painted.
Yeah.
However, if I'm playing against a person, as long as they're like in the process of working, I don't care.
I don't care what they're doing with their figures if it's not a tournament.
Yeah.
Because I'm probably not playing them.
Yeah. However, Dan Delanois, it's like, come on, man, just paint your figures.
The masterful builder.
His figures are gorgeously built and sanded. Yeah.
I mean, breaking people's balls is a thing.
Yeah. But I don't care either way, really. As long as you're kind of working on it, you know. I hate the people who literally buy an army that's designed to break you and playing and just never do anything with it. Yeah. So
I mean, that actually adds to the tilt factor, though.
Yeah,
because your army's all painted and nice and like base, and you like you did little things like I actually made a little bed of flowers here, and I put some stamped flowers in the back behind him so you can see he's really walking through, and he's just like my metal guy shoots you down, you're dead. I won again. Victor is strongest.
I gotta stop playing against Ukrainian people. Gotta stop doing that.
Ukraine is game to you.
Ukraine is strong.
Next up, Timothy Franklin, best up the butt model ever. If a model was going up there, which one would it be?
Ooh.
No shame, just truth. Now I don't know if this is like which model I would find to select to be the most pleasurable, or the one I would find to be the least painful. So I'm going to answer both with the Reaper Bones Cthulhu.
Ooh.
The gigantic Reaper Bones Cthulhu.
I'm going to actually say something a little more functional with this one. I'm going to say the Necron Monolith.
The monolith.
So it widens as you go down.
Good call.
Yes. Yes. All right. Or as always, you could do with the Captain Cortez. That's the classic up the butt model, yeah. Captain Cortez.
He's kind of the go-to
because he's got the fist that goes up, so it can actually hit your prostate as it's going up.
Exactly.
So like you could tilt it just a little bit. Woo!
Cortez, you're pleasuring me so much, Captain Cortez. And he's like, si, me gusta,
me gusta. No, be me gusto.
What?
No, I just said that.
That's not right. He's not Italian.
No, wouldn't it gusto? Wouldn't it be if you?
Me gusta. Gusta is I like it in Spanish.
Yeah. No, isn't I like gusto? Gusta no. Wouldn't be like you like.
No,
gustar. Gustar is to like, right?
No. You're confusing languages.
No, I thought gustar is to like.
Me gusta means I like.
I guess. I thought it meant you like.
You is to.
Yeah, to gusta.
To gusta. That would mean you like.
But wouldn't gusto, when you put the O on the end of it, isn't that?
No, gusto is a different
welcome
word.
Welcome to
I think, I don't know, someone who listens to us probably speaks Spanish and will probably correct us and be like, you guys are idiots.
You're like, ay, ay, ay. Que muy malo.
Dolor mi estómago. The bee bit my bottom. Now my bottom's all big.
The guys dress up as the bee.
Demon.
Yeah.
Isn't his name actually Beeman?
Who knows? Okay. Anthony Pizzera asks us, maybe discuss the strangeness of the casual mentality of many gamers leaking into tournament play. Why doesn't this behavior seem to exist in other forms of gaming? And actually,
there's a bunch of replies, but
as we all know, we hate filthy casuals. Yeah,
not going into the replies. It's not strange. It's Games Workshop. It's residuals from people who played Games Workshop tournaments and not necessarily played Games Workshop but if they played miniatures games when Games Workshop was at its peak, because all the tournaments for any game emulated the Workshop style, and the Workshop tournaments were casual.
They're completely casual.
Painting score, sportsmanship score,
soft scores.
Yeah, you have lots of soft scores. So that became the standard that other games and tournament systems emulated it from. So it all stems from Games Workshop.
Yeah, and this is one of the things that I really agree with Steve on, is that soft score should not factor into your overall scores for the tournament.
It should factor into your soft score prizes.
Yeah, and that's, like, your best painted should not be part of your overall winner. Your best sportsmanship, which is a stupid thing to begin with,
oh yeah,
should not be.
Because you know what? It's a game, and people get fucking salty in games. Like, super salty.
Yeah, people get salty when they lose at Mario Party, which is the worst game known to mankind.
Dude, Mario Party's a blast.
Mario Party's awful.
Oh, it's so fun.
People who play Mario Party should be lined up and shot with one bullet.
You've always said that I hate fun, but the real person who hates fun is you. You are actually Hitler, and you hate fun.
If I was in a room with Hitler, Bin Laden, and Mario Party, and a gun with two bullets, I'd shoot Mario Party twice.
I mean, that seems fun. Because then you're going to get spit roasted by Bin Laden and Hitler, and you're going to be like, loving every minute of it.
See,
loving every minute of it.
This is what I was telling you about the levels thing, where I got it to full-time levels.
More work for you is fun for me.
It's the double hand job motion. That's you got to go towards the center. Towards. You ever watch Silicon Valley? Silicon Valley?
No, I hated it. I saw the first episode. I thought it was one of the worst piece of shit shows of all
time. It's one of the funnier bits that they do on there. Is they're talking about compression rates, but they're talking about giving a double hand job while you're doing it. And it's not like you don't go like this. You want to go towards the center like this. Pull.
there's a Whitest Kids You Know sketch where. The dude does the jerky motion, mm-hmm. but he keeps going, and like he keeps going and starts getting awkward, and like the guy's like, "What are you doing?" And he's just like, he's like really getting into it, just doing the air jerk motion, and he's like, and he just fucking like spurts, and he's like, "What are you doing? You don't finish. You never finish." And he's just like, and he's like wiping his face, and so fucking good.
I always finish with the jerky. I go for like the little explosion motion at the end of it.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't get like too into it.
Yeah, but no, he was jacking off an air dick.
Yeah, jacking off an air dick.
Yeah, see, so we've uncovered a real revelation here. The person who actually hates fun.
It's me, yeah. Mario Party's awful.
So good.
I just don't like it, like, random points awarded at the end. That always bothered me.
Oh, well, the new ones, like, the random points are pretty... Unless you were super, super close.
Yeah.
They're not random points either. They actually have a thing, but they're, like, the new ones not... you don't get stars. It's not like the... Because the old Mario Party was, like, coins and stars, and, like, the stars were super... weighted so ridiculously, so if you got one star, you just win. Like, here you go, you win. The new one is it's basically just coins. You have mini stars, which they which basically fill the role of the coins in the other game, but you don't spend them, you just accumulate them throughout the board, and at the end of the board, whoever has the most mini stars wins.
It still sounds like a game for 12
year olds. It's not random.
It's a stupid baby game.
Hey, I mean, you like I said, you're Hitler.
Stupid baby
game. You're Hitler. You hate fun. You play Bolt Action, which is cancer.
No. Always. You play
Assassin's Creed. Assassin's Creed's cancer.
You can't.
All the video games.
Why
you play
always
are garbage.
Doing these false analogies, Steve? Every time you get angry at me about something,
video games.
You always just be like, "Well, you like this."
We're talking video games. All the video games you like are shit. You don't like a single good game.
Oh yeah.
Except for Shadow of Mordor. You got that.
What if
all
I was
your
like,
favorite
was
games
like,
are awful? Like Assassin's Creed. That's the Call of Duty of third person games. So you basically like Call of Duty.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, why don't you tell me some more about Bloodborne? Oh, it's so good.
It's really good.
It's so good. Oh, it's so hard. Isn't it hard?
I mean,
hey guys,
you're
this
shit
game
at
hard?
Games, so it makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, I'm doing the jerky yeah. motion. See if I'm gonna finish. Like, I'm gonna finish all over your Bloodborne.
Like you're shit at games, so you can't play games that actually have challenge. You have to play children's games like Assassin's Creed. Mario Party is harder than Assassin's Creed because Assassin's Creed is like I'm pushing the button. Go Ezio. I'm an Italian assassin. Fucking garbage shit.
Oh no, well it's better than Bloodborne where it's like I'm gonna give this guy a top hat. Oh look, I'm playing Malifaux on the video games.
Yeah, because you've played it.
Yeah, oh, I don't need to play it because it's shit games.
Exactly.
It's a shit game.
That's what I thought. Fucking garbage.
Anyway, back to the question at hand.
So everyone remember, Joe is Hitler. Is Joe Hitler? Please respond on Facebook.
Joe's Hitler. to the panelists.
We'll let Facebook decide.
Yes. So the casual thing is it's more for me. It's about do people bring hard armies to tournaments? Do people try and bring an army that's going to win it? You could bring an army that's nicely painted, that's themed, and could still win a tournament. But do people do that? No, they bring something.
No, it's because they're bad, but they can paint well, but they can't paint fast, so they paint a tiny little bitch army, and they like this is what I could put together. So they don't play a good list; they play what they can paint.
Yeah, exactly. And it's kind of bullshit. On top of that, one of the things that brought up was the, the no flame tanks rule. Like, and someone brought up a good point about that, where it's that's always existed in gaming, where no odd jobs, no blah blah blah. You know, when you're playing video games or board games or
restricting
stuff like that.
The format before you start is different.
Yeah, that's exactly. I think that's different. As long as everyone goes in there with the same rules. It was one of the things that my biggest bitches about the Bolt Action tournament I played in was the fact that everyone played.
You were the biggest bitch?
Yes. Everyone was playing with the different rules on the table. Like each scenario on each table was different. So some people might end up with the easier scenario than someone else. And that was, I thought, was stupid.
Yep, that's terrible. That tournament sounds like shit.
It was.
Wasn't that a fucking Drakstar tournament?
No. This was the one at the for the tournament for the Adepticon one.
Oh, okay.
The team tournament, which I had a lot of fun playing, but that's because I was so destroying everyone in front of me that I was just like, haha, you suck. I'm great. But it sucked that every
Dude,
table had
they,
a different.
They must be really bad if you're wrecking them.
Yeah, I mean. But that's part of the problem with that one. All right, what's next? What's the next question, Steve?
Rob Hawkins posting Family Guy.
Oh, that was the one about, because that was your previous one where you talked about Kings of War.
And he said he wants to talk about vaginas.
You guys got
vaginas are sweet.
You guys got all on tilt about Kings of War.
No, not really.
Oh, you got a little salty on that one.
I got annoyed because of the fantasy love, because I fucking hate fantasy.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like bad. You were just like, why don't people not like the things I don't like?
It's less about liking Kings of War. It's more about like fantasy being trash. And like when someone says it's a deep and like good system, I'm just like, what are you on? Like irresistible force. My guys are in a tower. Huh, I'm winning the game.
And
you can't say like, oh well, that guy's just taking a broken list. That doesn't work. That's the rules. That's the game. If they're taking bullshit, it doesn't matter because it's fair. It's legal. Well,
that's
points.
That's 8th edition, so right there.
The game's broken.
I think 6th edition was a fantastic, fantastic rule set.
It was better than 8th.
Oh, anything's better than 8th. 8th is an awful rule set. They fucked that game over so many times.
6 was broken in a different way with immune to psychology.
Yeah. Well, immune to psychology wasn't terrible. It's just that certain armies...
No, immune to psych was the most broken thing in 6. Like, if you look at any tournament, like, every army that tops is immune to psych.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like top 3, immune to psych. Always.
I agree. But I don't think it was... Yes, it was overpowered, but I think, like, on a tournament level, yes, it was broken. 6th edition was broken on the tournament level because of a couple rules like that.
Actually, it was really just immune to psych.
Yeah. There was a... I guess that was the big one.
All of the armies that had immune to psych also had other things about them that were broken.
Yeah. However, on an individualized basis, I think that the game was, as a beer and pretzels game, the game was fantastic.
Yeah, but like beer and pretzels games are for casuals, and casuals suck.
Casuals suck.
They play Assassin's Creed.
Yes. They're not part of the Bloodborne Master Race.
Bloodborne's not even that hard.
Dark Souls Master Race.
Also not that hard. They're games that just require... That's the thing. People talk about how hard they are. They're not fucking hard. None of them are hard. They require patience.
Yeah.
Which is very, very difficult for people.
Yeah. The whole point was going back and forth about Kings of War. And, you know, I disagree with certain things. I don't like chess clock that much in tournament play. But I do agree that there is a place for it. Like I got schooled at a tournament because a guy took forever on his turns. Because
you can build a giant army that's designed to draw or win.
Mm-hmm.
Like the worst result you get is you're not trying to draw.
It's not even the worst result. The guy's army wasn't that big. It was a small army, but he was just taking forever. Just slow play? He was slow playing, and I'm just like,
there's no judge to call.
Asshole.
There's no judge to call. Like you can't be like judge. That's the thing in like a card game. That's cheating. You call a judge and you ask the judge to watch your opponent. Obviously, they'll stop slow playing while the judge is there. But you can say, I think my opponent's playing a little slow. Can you watch? And the judge will be like, you're playing slow. You need to make a move. And like, then they'll be like, warning, disqualify. Like, it's literally cheating. If you slow play, you are cheating.
Oh, no. And I completely agree. I think, okay, so I don't want to go too deep into bolt action, but it's a 6-turn game. All the games are 6 turns. Like, it's a pretty standard game. Like, fantasy was a 6-turn game. So, the tournament games are usually blocked around an hour and a half to 2 hours. I can play a 6-turn, 2-hour game, no problem. I do it every Thursday. We play a 6-turn, 2-hour game. Sometimes it might go a little over, and we might not get there, but usually by then we can figure out who's winning the game. And doesn't even matter at that point. But when you can only get to turn 3 in a 2-hour game, your opponent's slow playing you.
Yeah.
So that's bullshit.
Yeah, I think chess clocks are there so people don't cheat.
Yeah.
And I think people who don't favor chess clocks either have sloppy play or, like, I don't know, some other reason.
It's harder in
they're cheaters.
But it's harder in a you go, I go game like Bolt Action to do that.
Yeah,
like,
you can't always do – that's the thing. You can't always do chess clock. Like, some games don't work. Like, a game where you roll dice on your opponent's turn, you can't use a chess clock. Because if I'm rolling dice during your turn, you know, there cannot be a chess clock. So, like, there's awkward things. And even, like, War Machine, which is, like, the ultimate chess clock game, there's still some awkward stuff, like, that is inexcusable for them to design it that way because they designed their game around the death clock. Like, they know that that's a thing that's used at every single fucking tournament. So for them to design a miniature that is like the entire Trollbloods faction, for example,
yeah,
they are really penalized by having a chess clock because they make tough rolls and like they're mechanically slow to play.
Yeah.
So like they are at a huge disadvantage as soon as they set up the board because their chess clock runs down while they're like making saves that they cannot choose to ignore.
I know we don't talk about it that much, but actually the new Trollblood models that have just come out look pretty cool.
Yeah, they look sweet.
Yeah. It's like that's what you can say about it's like what are you going to say about War Machine? It's just like, "Yeah, that looks cool." Yeah, that looks cool. That looks dumb. That looks cool.
Like that's the thing. So even a game like the forerunner of minis chess clock games, like they still have their own design flaws because they're making things that don't work with the chess clock they want.
Yeah,
King's War is a game that actually just straight up works with chess clock, and like it's not a mass combat game. It looks like it, but it plays more like War Master.
Yeah, I just think that tournament play in general, which is hard to do with minis because it's so funky.
Yeah, that's why I avoid minis. Like they're
fun to play, but I mean they do get really frustrating.
Yeah, minis tournaments are just like the most frustrating fucking thing because like there's so many factors,
so many variables.
Yes, and it's just like, am I gonna play against like Captain Salt? Like I said, like when I the last tournament I played, and we're just like the first guy was okay, and then like it was just like shitters, like just like stops, like you fucking lost round one. Either if you're gonna be a dickhead the rest of the day, drop,
yeah,
leave,
yeah,
don't stay.
Well, it's not even that, but it's like the variables. Like you have to. If you're going to play this game, you have to play six turns with the same scenario on the same terrain. Like it needs to, there needs to be something that's very, very, what's the word in chemistry that they use? It needs to be like an experiment.
Coherent?
No, but I mean, there needs to be, everything needs to be as
a constant?
Yeah, constant as possible. You can't, and the only two things that are different are the players in the armies. So that's the only two things that should be different from table to table. But then, No, that's not going to be there because this guy likes to have fun at a tournament.
Or also, like, they don't have the right terrain. So, like, some guy's fighting on, like, hill, forest, like, big, giant, like, impassable wall. And this guy's got hill.
Yeah.
Like, there's no forest. Like, that's not fair.
And I think that there's a problem with tournament runners where they can't think that playing a tournament like that can be fun. A serious tournament can be fun. You could have fun with a serious tournament. You just the problem is that there's this thing like, well, a serious tournament can't be fun. There needs to be, you know, a crazy, oh no, it's a fourth turn air bombardment. Oh,
like, fucking mega battles. Everything's a mega battle.
Yeah. All right. Going on to the next one. Rules change between super. This is Brandon Myers. Rules change between Super Dungeon Explorer and Forgotten King. Improvement or hassle? It's easy. It's an improvement. They get a little more detailed into it. The rulebook's a little bigger. It's a 30-page rulebook for the classic mode, 40-page for the arcade mode. It's mainly just going a little more in depth into the stuff and being a little more clear on what you can do and what you can't do and what certain things do. I think it's an improvement. The cards are better. I think they're a little more balanced out, the abilities. So take what you will out of that. It could be a hassle. It's not quite as pull out of the box as it used to be, but there is a pull out of the box rule set for it so that if you're getting people into the game, this is how you get them into the game. I appreciate that. All right, why don't you do the next
Anthony
one?
Anthony Carroll. Why many gamers seem unable to play a no longer supported game even if they have all the minis / rule books? Dot, dot, dot. Come on, people. It doesn't stop being fun just because the company that used to make it has stopped or put out another edition. It's content. You know, like, games get boring.
Yeah.
You know, if I was still playing Fantasy 6th Edition at this point, I'm pretty sure I'd be sick of it. Because your book doesn't change, I don't think you should stop immediately. I think that's kind of weird. But you know, you can exhaust a game.
Oh yeah.
I think
there's something to be said about pulling out, you know, your War Master army, blowing the dust off, putting it on the table and playing a game of War Master. I think that's fine. I think people still do that. It's harder with certain games.
It's brutal with me. Like, the two things that are the most brutal are fucking minis and card games. It's like, so fucking bad. It's like, card games at least have a shot at a second life because a lot of times they move to, like, online. Like, I don't... I didn't get super into it, but I know the Star Trek game from Decipher.
Yeah.
They still make new sets. And I think Star Wars too.
You have to print
them
out.
they're fan sets. You can print them out, but they're designed to be played online.
Oh, that's cool.
So people play them online. Like that's where if you want to play like Star Trek Decipher or you were like good, you just play online.
Well, there's something also to be
said. Can't do that with minis.
There's something also that when you have why a game died. Like the Decipher game for Star Trek and Star Wars, they died because they lost the license. They weren't bad games. Certain games died because their last rule set was just terrible. Like
Legend of the Five Rings?
Legend of the Five Rings.
Yeah, that CCG is pretty much gone.
I mean, people still play it, but it's like, why does a game, why did...
It had small pockets of players, and like, I obviously can't speak for everyone, but what I've seen is the small pockets of players were like nuked by the new edition. They're just like gone now.
Certain minigames. Okay, look at old school Warzone, Chronopia, Clan War. I'm just pulling out old minigames that have dead.
Yeah.
Those games, why did those games die? Those games didn't die because they were bad. Those games died because they were at peak Warhammer. They came out when Warhammer was at its peak.
Chronopia was pretty bad.
It wasn't great. It wasn't.
Clan War's actually okay. But
Clan War, Clan War, the problem was you needed like 100 figures and they were all metal. There was no plastic. And it was an expensive-ass game to play. It was actually a pretty fun game. But why did those games die? Because it was peak Warhammer. Everyone was playing Warhammer at that time. No one was playing any of those other games.
Also, all games die because they don't generate new players.
Yeah.
And if you're playing an older edition, it's pretty impossible to generate new players.
Well, and that's the other thing.
Or a discontinued game.
Like, who would I have to play Clan War with? I mean, I have a couple guys who would play it, but I would have to paint all the figures. I'd have to bring everything, and I'd have to teach the game to these guys. They wouldn't be playing on their own against other people, so it would just become stale after a time.
It would probably be stale immediately.
Yeah.
Because you'd be like, I get you with this, and they're like, oh, this game's dumb. Let's leave. Let's go drink.
Yeah, I'm not going to go play this game with Steve, because Steve would be like, no, and he just knocks all my painted minis off the table.
I just wouldn't play it.
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing wrong with playing an older game. It's good to hang on to a good game for a while after it's dead, especially if you got painted pieces or it's nice and it's good, you know. It's just, but if it's dead, it's dead for a reason, you know. Sixth edition is one of the few things that I'm like, you know, this is probably a better version of this game than what's currently out there.
And yeah, until you play the Bellicor list, and you're just like, sixth edition's broken.
Well, who's playing? If you play, someone's playing the Bellicor list, you smack them and you say no.
When were we just talking about game balance and fairness? You know, I'm playing what's in the rules, Joe.
I'd only play it if the Bellicor is the
model. That was the big debacle with the with that book being like this, like all non-Codex books, is not tournament legal.
Yeah,
that was like the line that shook the foundations of fucking the workshop.
People were going into like convulsions, like
negating all the Storm of Chaos lists from tournaments, and just like, are you kidding? Like, they've been in the format for fucking like 2.5 years.
It was 2 years at that point. Yeah, like, yeah. I'd only play a Bellicor list
leave them.
If the guy comes with a Bellicor that has the big floppy
the big
dong.
Oh, yeah,
that's the only way I'd play that list.
Yeah. I mean, you don't need to play it. Like, he just rolls dice at you.
Well, no, I yeah, that too.
And you're just like, all right,
ooh,
like,
push your
little guys. Push your little guys. Be like, all right, these guys move behind you and shoot you.
Wasn't it like Fog of Magic or something?
It's his. He has
that.
The Fog of Death thing, which is like super busted. But you're also using all the Tzeentch flyers that shoot. So like, they jump over your block and shoot you from behind, and like the skirmishers shoot at you from the woods.
You know what? If a guy spends that much money on an all-metal army like that, let him win.
Oh no, it's got to be like the super trashy version where it's like just like plastic sprue bits and Chaos Warrior glued to it on the base, floating.
I would get up on the table. I would stand up on that 4x8, pull down my pants, and shit on his army.
Like that dude who played the bug army in the UK Masters. It was just the rubber bug toys. Did you see it?
Yeah, but I'm okay with that. I mean, like, the thing is with the Bellicor list, it's so brutal.
It wasn't even painted. They were just glued on bases. They were rubber bug toys glued on bases.
I think that was more of a satirical statement. All right, next one.
You won, though.
Andrew McCall.
And that's all that matters.
I'd like to hear your guesses on how many Game of Thrones references there will be in the upcoming Medieval Zombicide game. First.
Fuck Zombicide.
No, first thing, we'll never know because we don't play Zombicide.
Well, that's my my first thing is fuck Zombicide.
Second, are you excited about Game of Thrones coming back tomorrow?
I haven't figured out what I'm going to do to watch it yet. I think we're going to torrent it.
Are you not going to get the Fire Stick from Amazon? They're going to carry it now.
I know there's a whole bunch of shit, but like, I want to watch it on my TV.
Yeah.
not on a computer. Like, yeah.
Well, the Fire Stick works on TVs. That's the only difference. And, yeah. And well, I mean, if you
like,
want,
well, if fucking Comcast didn't block HBO Go on PS4,
yeah,
like that would be a thing.
Yeah, but Comcast blows.
Yep.
Yeah, but
Comcast is actually Hitler.
Comcast is Hitler.
Is Joe Comcast? Is Joe Facebook?
Is Joe Comcast panel? Yes or no? Yes, yes, no, yes. So three yeses to one no. Joe is Comcast.
Joe's Comcast.
Whatever. If you're playing Zombicide and you've bought all the, if you bought all the expansions up to this point, I guess go ahead, do whatever you want to do. Whatever. I don't care. It's gonna have a lot of stupid references. It's gonna have Evil Dead references. It's gonna have, you know, all the pop culture references.
I already hate it.
All of the pop culture references.
Matt Lee, maybe do a short, focused 45-minute episode about particular games. Talk a little about your history with the game, what you like, and why I hate it.
And why Steve hates it is what.
Yes.
You wrote. Okay. The answer
well,
is.
Yeah, I said I. That's me.
Maybe do something that's short. No, we're not. I can't get Steve to focus for more than 5 minutes on anything. So.
Not even that. Just like I hate it because I hate it. Like I only like a few things.
Yeah.
Telling you the list of what I like is a lot shorter because if it's not on my list, I like, I hate it.
And there's a few games that I play enough that I want to talk about for 45 minutes at a stretch. Like,
dude, I'd be gone. I'd be outside fucking playing on my phone.
Well, that's it. You'd be sitting here talking about Force of Will, and I'd be like. And I'd be sitting here going, well, the Decipher Star Wars games, you'd be outside smoking.
That's the thing. Like, getting super deep into games is like, it's not
sucks.
Even worth it.
Yeah. Like, I mean, like, would you like me to talk here?
I want most things to be like a elevator pitch.
Short and punchy.
Yeah, like it's an elevator pitch. Like, yeah. Like I can give you the rundown of Force Wheel real quick. Like, you know, you can give me the rundown of that game real quick. You
yeah.
know? Although if I talked about anything as much as you talk about Bold Action, you'd have a fucking conniption fit.
Probably. Probably. Last episode, this is Andrew McColl again. God damn it, Andrew. Give someone else a chance. Last episode, you mentioned there was a drinking tournament at Adepticon. What are your thoughts on drinking and eating during events? What about turning games into drinking games? Turning anything into it. Drinking games are stupid. You don't need a reason to drink. You know what my reason to drink is, Steve?
You're drinking?
I'm drinking. That's my reason to drink.
I mean, my idea of a drinking game is a game that I'm playing while I'm drinking.
Yeah.
And I'm drinking.
Mm-hmm. I don't need a reason to. I hated drinking games in college because I'm like.
Although Drinking Quest is pretty fun.
Yeah, drinking. Okay, that's the one game that I'll give you is pretty fun because it's not like it's designed around drinking, yeah. You know, and it's a pretty fun game. But I mean, like, all right, on Game of Thrones, every time you see a nipple, do a shot.
Oh, you mean like that? Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Right. You know, I'm not talking about it like or. I like beer pong as much as the next guy or you know Flippy Cup. I love Flippy Cup, but I'm not a. Like turning like something like into a drinking game, I think is stupid.
I think drinking during events is great.
I think it's fantastic.
Having beers
yeah.
while you're playing games is awesome. I think eating at the gaming table is disgusting.
No, I think it's great. You get a big old pastrami sandwich with some provolone cheese, maybe some yellow mustard, and you just
it's fucking awful. Step away from the table and eat your food. Because like the sound of people chewing is just
no. What's disgusting to me is anytime someone brings
and
in,
then their sticky fucking hands when they're done.
Okay, so one of the things about playing in Chicago is that there's usually a Portillo's within 20 minutes within 5 minutes of any gaming event that you do, and people will always come in with Portillo's, just like, and you could smell the Portillo's, and it's not bad, but if you smell Portillo's for longer than 15 minutes, you're just disgusted with it.
Well, no, it's not even that. It's not even the one you're smelling for 15 minutes. It's the next one, and then the one after that, because someone's like, oh man, a beef's a Maxwell Street Bullish.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go get one.
It's like the smell of mustard and grease and onions. It just drives you crazy in Chicagoland. You know, if you're gonna go eat. Don't bring it into the gaming table.
It was right. There was one right by the bunker where we worked.
But
so,
I mean, it's not even infinite. It's everywhere. Everywhere you go in Chicago, there's a Portillo's in 5 minutes away
for
from
sure.
It. Yeah.
But being forced into an enclosed space with one happened at the bunker.
Well, but there was also the smell of gamer mixed in there, so that was.
There was that one guy who wore the sleeveless muscle shirt. That guy fucking smelled terrible. I shamed that guy into going home.
But yeah, drinking during an event is fine. The problem with tournaments is that if you expect to be. Have a coherent player at a drinking tournament by the third game, you're in
It's not gonna happen.
That's not gonna happen.
Yeah, I think tournaments as an aside back to many things, like I think tournaments just need to simply either be like they're all casual because it's fucking they're minis tournaments. So you know, if you're not playing it, like, don't take it seriously. Like, that's
part of
being like a serious Warhammer player is like the stupidest.
One of the things you absolutely need for any tournament where you're going to be drinking alcohol is you need to have the rules on autopilot. You can't be expected to make a decision or look something up if you have a couple beers in you.
Right.
Because at that point, you're just like, fuck it. You can't do that at a card tournament.
Yeah. You get a night, they'll be like, judge? That's the thing.
I play this dual land. What does it do? What's it do? What's it do?
Judge.
What's it do? Judge.
The difference between, that's the thing, in miniatures tournaments and in card tournaments, like in a card tournament, you scream out judge and you put your hand in the air. Play stops. A judge comes. You tell him what's going on. The judge will immediately go like, you are disqualified or you, because they have a system in place.
Yeah.
So like in Warhammer, it all comes down, or minis, there's no
judge.
There's a judge, but there's no, like, they, I don't know if they might have floor judges at the bigger events or like whatever. That's not the judge's existence is less relevant. There's no like procedure.
Yeah.
Like there's no expected procedure. So if I say, like, if I look and I'm like, you, let's, like, you moved your figure too far, like, I can call a judge. What's the procedure? Does he make you slide it back? Because you could just be like, well, I didn't do the, you know, it's the, it's a weird kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then like dice, like you just get banned from the tournament. Do you get, there's no, you know, are you banned forever? Because I know there was one dude at the bunker who microwaved his dice. he got caught doing it too. It was so funny.
The, speaking of which, really quick, Whiz Dice on Amazon. You could buy a bag of a 1 pound bag of polyhedrals. It's 100 polyhedrals, about a pound, for $20. You get I think something around 15 7 dice sets. So it's a pretty good deal if you look it up. Whiz Dice. ChessX also does a 1 pound bag, but they don't do the sets in there, so you end up with like a shit ton of D10s.
Yeah, just random dice.
Yeah. So, but the Whiz Dice, you actually get a couple sets, and they actually roll pretty well. All right. Next one. What do you got, Steve?
Scott Anderson asks, are either of you running D&D 5e?
Yes.
What do you think? The prevailing opinion seems to be that the encounter building rules are terrible.
Never have to build encounters.
And I agree. Is 5e or D&D in general a game for the lowest common denominator? And do the rules have to take that into account? So, I am not running D&D. Joe is. What do you think? We both like it. Encounter building rules?
I haven't used the encounter building rules yet.
I come from First Ed, so build your own encounters.
Yeah.
So, encounter building rules are always terrible. They're terrible for every game, period. They're bad. CR is bad. There's no accurate way to... There's no mechanical way to design an encounter except for games that are like 4th edition, which are just grinding slogs. Like, if you're designing an encounter, you just look at the, like, how much damage, how much hit points does the fucking thing have, how much damage can it do, you know, like, CR is constantly a one that's fucked up because, like, the CR for a monster is either way too low or way too high.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, this thing is CR 6 and will body a level 10 party, and this thing's CR 12 and, like, you know, level 7 characters beat the shit out of it because they missed some ability that the thing has, or like it's not resistant to this. I think encounter building rules are generally bad.
I love modules because they tell you this is what you encounter.
Yeah. Just fair. I mean, like, it might be annoying for people who are just starting out as a DM because they can't figure out how to build an encounter. But if you're just starting out as a DM, run a fucking module.
Yeah, run a module. That's what I do, and it's gotten me way back into it, and I love doing it. I'm supposed to be running a module today, but Pat Bale decided that he didn't want to instead.
You're welcome for that, by the way.
I'm going to use that one from now on. As we say, is it the lowest common denominator? Only yes, because it's got the name recognition. I don't think it's. I think it's a great system. I don't think it's lowest common denominator at all.
I think it needs to be the most. It needs to be the most accessible.
Oh, for sure.
Like, that's just. It has to be. Like, if you want a game that's like fucking hardcore and crunchy, find a fucking European RPG or Lamentations of the Flame Princess. Like, that game will just kill your players. And like, they're into it.
If you want a game where the players are going to figure out every little thing to make their win, then you go play Pathfinder. That's, you know, if you want something that leans heavily towards the player side, you go play Pathfinder. If you want something that's going to be...
No, heavily towards the player side where they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Because they don't know what they're doing, they actually slow the game down and ruin the game for people who do know what they're doing, which is annoying because Pathfinder is so rules-focused.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, I think if you're looking for... There's that word casual again. If you're looking for casual RPG experience, you play D&D. Or, but if you're looking for something that's hardcore, crunchy, and brutal, you go play European or Flame Princess. I think that's the perfect way of putting it.
Yeah, or a like non hit point based game, like a game that uses wound levels or something, you know, deadly.
Yeah. Latest update on Kingdom Death. They got like a couple new box sets, right?
From Michael Casper. I'm gonna say Casper.
Lugas.
I'm gonna say Michael Casper.
He's Douglas.
Lugas. That's the name I've decided that is.
Yeah, I'm gonna say he's Hungarian. How about you?
Possibly. I don't know.
I'm gonna say he's Hungarian, maybe Romanian.
Yeah, I don't know. Definitely Slavic.
Yeah.
Kakosi, dobro.
he's that southern though. I bet you. So he's not good northern Slav like me, Pole.
Kingdom Death update is sweet, very exciting. After
will the Kickstarter ever come out?
Very long turnaround. There is now many. Now there's pictures of many sprues. There's a box. There's an actual box. There's a ship weight. It's 16 pounds.
Is the box set for Kingdom Death longer than Ogre? Or I think at this point it's been longer than Ogre.
I don't know.
I think it has been.
I don't know.
The wait for it.
But it's pretty exciting.
Yeah. It looks great.
Looking forward to it. The figures look awesome. Those Apotheosis figures were sweet.
The only thing that the only stretch goal I got for the Forgotten King Kickstarter for Super Dungeon Explorer was the Twilight, the Kingdom Death figure for Super Dungeon Explorer. I may sell that one, but I don't know. Because that one's going to be a rare. But apparently all the stretch goals are going to be available on the website soon. Mm. So,
and we got our good friend Angel Baker.
Yeah.
Like I said before, talk about them RPGs. Start with the Fantasy Grounds D&D. So I had actually seen this already.
Yeah, I did too. Yeah.
Fantasy Grounds is a pretty old program. Most people who play virtual tabletop with like a minis board or just virtual tabletop in general that need the standard tabletop accoutrement. Use Fantasy Grounds. It's a paid version. You buy it. Everyone has it. It's got chat function. It's like sitting around at the table. It's a great program. I endorse Fantasy Grounds.
Yeah, but now they're doing it with D&D 5th.
It's the licensed D&D 5th stuff for Fantasy Grounds is fucking outrageously expensive.
Oh, is it? I didn't look at the prices.
It's fucking nuts. Everything is like $50.
Ooh.
It's fucking terrible.
Woof. That's rough.
Yeah, so that's my opinion on that. I think it's absolutely ludicrous. I was so excited because like, oh man, they actually got licensed D&D for Fantasy Grounds. That's super sweet. And I saw the fucking prices and I'm like, are you shitting me? It's like, so if you want to pay 50 and the content's broken down in a different way.
Yeah.
It's not DM guide, player guide,
Monster Manual.
It's like there's like packages that come with the content and then they come with like tokens and shit. But fuck that. It's $50 for nothing. It's $50 for air.
Yeah. I mean, I agree on that one. You're better off just buying the books separately.
Buy the books. Look at the books in your hand.
Yeah, and go on Skype.
or go to the library and fucking scan them and send them to your players. Because I think the digital books are like, I'm sure they're available. They're probably like half the price of the print.
Yeah.
You know, it's probably $25 to buy a non-print copy of a DM's guide.
All right. Ian Davies, we all have minis at home that we haven't got around to painting yet. Maybe never even opened the boxes. But at what point does it become crazy hoarding, and how do you knuckle down and paint stuff when there's a whole internet full of distractions? I think the level is when you reach my level.
It's immediately hoarding. Sell it.
When you get to Joe levels, it's pretty ridiculous. You can go inside my crawl space, and it's just boxes upon boxes of minis. I got to crack down. I got to get rid of a bunch of stuff.
He's never going to sell anything.
However,
he's gonna die in a pile of miniatures.
Oh, it's gonna be so good. It's just gonna be like,
I'm gonna laugh. It's just gonna crumble on top of you.
Yeah. I do, but the knuckle down and painting thing, I never have any problems with painting. I just, in the last week, I had my little spring break. I painted an entire Italian World War II army.
The more stuff you have to paint that you want to paint,
mm-hmm.
the more stuff you own that you actually want to work on, the less work you will do.
I disagree with that.
Of course you do.
What I do is that I'm one of the few people I can paint while watching TV at the same time. I have a little portable painting device that
But you have the amount of figures where it'd be considered a problem. You could be on Hoarders.
Oh yeah, I could be. I couldn't be. I wouldn't be on Hoarders because all my stuff is very nicely
stored. It looks nice.
Yeah, it's definitely not.
It's organized. Yeah. That's the thing. If the Hoarders people are just a little bit more organized, they can get away with it by saying they're collectors.
Yeah. Well, you go to
That's the difference between a hoarder and a collector.
You go to Timmy Lyson's house and you're immediately you think like, oh, he's gonna all stuff's gonna be amazing. No, it's just in a big tub on the ground, like his big pile of stuff. And you're like, you're a masterclass painter. What's going on?
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I'm just like,
he just shits out sweet models.
Yeah. And so. he's got like a pile of swords and everything else in his basement. I would say just teach yourself to paint in front of the TV, and that's what I do, and it's great. I never have a problem with that.
Yeah, I suggest watching, listening to podcasts while you paint is nice.
Yeah, that's true.
And watching stuff that you've already seen. So, like, if you have, like, Batman the Animated Series on Blu-ray or DVD, or it's not on Blu-ray yet, but on DVD, you just put that on, start watching that and paint.
A lot of good, like, mindless stuff. Like, Stargate SG-1 is a very mindless show to watch while painting. You don't have to pay attention.
Also, you just fucking spray it, you slap some fucking wash on there, and you call it a fucking day.
You call it a fucking day. God damn it.
It's like, colors based.
You paint it, you spray it white, you paint it blue, and you say it's a ghost army.
Yes. But then you gotta dry brush another blue.
Well, you know, that's what I'm saying. You just ink it blue. That's all you do. Just ink it blue.
But then you gotta dry brush it blue, because then there's only two.
Oh, okay.
Two colors. Yeah, that's white and ink blue.
It's like, woo.
the ghost army. Then I remember someone had a fucking ghost army at a tournament. I can't remember who it was. Whatever.
I think I know who it was.
They had a ghost army in the tournament, and they like got so salty because they didn't get good paint scores.
I know exactly who it is. I was like,
this is the fucking best. Like, I can't believe like you want good paint scores. Your fucking shit is dry brushed ghosts.
All right, and Steve, you can read the last question.
I have a topic for discussion. Steve, why is Bloodborne so good, and when can we play Bloodborne Inspired RPG? Bloodborne is good because it looks nice. It's pretty fun. And has a fucking amazing soundtrack, like movie quality soundtrack. Bloodborne Inspired RPG is impossible. People, like, since Dark Souls came out, people have been trying to do a game that is the same feel. There's nothing that actually works, because anything that kills your players and warps them somewhere else will immediately break the party. People have tried. You can get an inspired game, but I think you just play Shadows of Astarion. I think that's all you need to do.
Shadows? Yeah,
Shadows of Astarion is a good story-driven one with, like, a dark feel, and it's dangerous.
Dangerous.
The one thing that's really cool about Shadows of Astarion that I do like, I never actually got into the crunch about that game, but I'll make it really short, because there's not too much.
Yeah, we're way over time.
Well, that's your problem.
Well, yeah, because I have to have enough space on the fucking website to put it up.
Exactly.
So.
You have to chump it up. A lot of story games, combat is not dangerous, and it's really like lackadaisical, like, we're doing things, I'm exploring. Shadows of Astarion will fucking kill you. you're like, oh, I explore the corner. It's like this thing appears and jumps at you, and you're like, I try and avoid it, and like, you fail to avoid it. You're fucking dead. It cuts you in half. GG, no re.
Good game, no re. No respawn. Yeah, there we go on there. That's our good questions. I think we could do that. I think we could call it a day on that one. That was a lot of questions.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, go to planetarbitrary.com for all your Planet Arbitrary needs. You could follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You could follow Steve at Game Classy. Like our Facebook page. That's where we got all these questions from. So if you want to ask us a question, and if we like your question, we'll answer it on there. If we don't, we'll call you stupid. And say, stop asking us, stop wasting our time with these damn wiener questions.
Don't forget to vote in the straw poll whether or not Joe is Hitler.
No.
Or Comcast.
It's Joe Comcast. that was the question.
Because Comcast is Hitler.
Straw poll.
It's a straw poll.
We're going to go into a room. We're all going to pick a corner. We're going to pick a side of the room. Is Joe Hitler or Joe Comcast? Is Joe not Comcast? We just have to convince people to go to our side of the room. That's American politics right there for the UK listeners. That's actually a way that we decide who's running for president, is everyone gets in a room and goes to one side. It's called a caucus. Look it up.
Caucus.
That's a different thing. The caucus is a different thing. It's my monster for Flame Princess. You could listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and other things. The best thing you could do to support the podcast is go to iTunes and like, comment, and subscribe. You could also listen to us on our YouTube channel. For some odd reason, like, one or two of the things gets, like, 1,000 views. We have, like, 60 people subscribing to us on YouTube, but yet we never get, like, more than, like, 40 people listening to the podcast on the YouTube. I don't get it. Whatever. I'm being forced to do it against my will. Listen to our other podcasts on the Planet Arbitrary Network, including the Pat's Ritual Video Game Review Podcast, also known as Pat Bale.
Also known as Play On.
And You could also listen to Comic Book Logic. We're going
to
be...
Don't listen to that one.
That's what Steve says. We're going to be... Iron Man 2 is coming out next on that one. We're probably going to end up doing Daredevil soon, too, because Daredevil's amazing.
Are you guys actually going to be able to like get it in time for the Avengers?
Oh, no. We weren't planning on it, but, you know, we wanted to.
I thought you were trying to get everything reviewed up at the point, so, like, you would have...
Oh, no. That wouldn't happen. Well, no.
I see.
Yeah.
All right, why don't you review the original Fantastic Four movie on VHS?
Oh, the Roger Corman one?
Yeah.
No. I was going to say the original one, the one from Fox, from that one's terrible.
Yeah, the back in the day one.
That one's awful.
Yeah.
The Roger Corman one's just awful on a different level.
I had all six seasons on VHS.
Oh, the cartoon one?
Webster. No.
Oh, Webster.
My brain's going in a bunch of different directions. I'm podcasted out.
You're talking about Teen Titans Go?
I was talking about Teen Titans Go.
Yeah, I watched that episode too. That one made me laugh. The A-Team. Barrels!
Fucking A-Team. So good.
And also, last thing is you can go to our subreddit on Reddit. It's just Game Classy Podcast. Or I think it's just Our Game Classy is what it is. All right, so Steve, until the next time.
Get the mobile-based game based on HBO's hit series Game of Thrones for free.
Game Classy.